This is Jay Sekulow. Major legislative initiatives on the situation in the Middle East.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The pretext of the movie was just used as a propaganda tool. If you can't get the chain of causation right as to what the problem is, obviously you cannot formulate effective American policy to deal with it. And right now, after the statements following September the 11th, we haven't heard anything from the president.
What is the latest you can tell us on who these attackers were in Benghazi?
Our current best assessment, based on the information that we have at present, is that in fact what this began as was a spontaneous, not a premeditated, response to what had transpired in Cairo. In Cairo, as you know, a few hours earlier, there was a violent protest that was undertaken in reaction to this very offensive video that was disseminated.
It was planned, definitely it was planned by foreigners, by people who entered the country a few months ago. And they were planning this criminal act since their arrival.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The idea that the State Department put out last Friday that they're not going to talk about what happened in Benghazi anymore is just wrong. Americans have a right to know what the security situation is for our people in the Middle East.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. I'm in the studio today with David French, senior counsel for the ACLJ. Hope to get Skip Ash on as well. Look, who do you believe? The Libyan prime minister or, Ambassador Susan Rice to the UN? She's blaming this entire, which is now, by the way, reached a record number of countries, including Kenya. Let me give you the list of where the protests are going on right now. Bangladesh, the West Bank and Israel, Yemen, Egypt, Libya, Gaza, Indonesia, Sudan, Kashmir, Lebanon, Iran, Iraq, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Somalia, Tunisia, Algeria, the United Kingdom, Kuwait, India, Amsterdam, Maldives, Sri Lanka, Qatar, Nigeria, Zuwaid, Morocco, Syria, Jordan, on. I mean, I could go reading a list, including Kenya, by the way, and Australia. So the protests are expanding. And then you got this statement from Susan Rice blaming this on a movie when in Lebanon, and there's been reports that Hezbollah has been calling for these for months, calling for these kind of actions. Hamas calling for it for months. Iran is the proxy. And in Libya, they're saying, look, this was premeditated outside groups. They're talking about groups like Al-Qaeda coming in here. And we got Susan Rice, David, still blaming the media, which to me is absurd.
Oh, absolutely absurd. I mean, in Benghazi alone, there was an escalating series of terrorist attacks that were well known, had been reported on.
At that facility.
Exactly. In that city, it was known that Al-Qaeda was threatening revenge for drone strikes. And, you know, it's just stunning. We need to be asking questions. How is it that a United States ambassador is lost for 10 hours in the middle of a firefight?
Unbelievable. When he was supposedly in a safe house. By the way, if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let me tell you this. Three pieces of legislation now pending, folks. Your voice is being heard on this. Three pieces of legislation now introduced, one by a Senator Inhofe out of Oklahoma asking the president to suspend aid to Egypt and Libya until there can be assurances that each nation is meeting its obligations under various treaties. We'll go into that in a moment. Senator Mint and Senator Corker have introduced a bill to mandate investigations into the attacks. Senator Graham has expressed support for the bill as well. And Democratic Senator Bill Nelson has called for the Senate Intelligence Committee to open investigation into these attacks. And there is this new call for no funding. Now, folks, that means your voice is being heard. And I want you to go right now. We can make a huge stand this week and stop this funding of Hamas and Hezbollah and money going to the Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood. If your voice, if you will join over 70,000 people who are standing with us, here's the number. It's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. But sign on to that petition now to stop that funding. 877-989-2255.
The Middle East is exploding. The U.S. ambassador to Libya and three members of his staff have been murdered. Radical extremists scaled the embassy walls and attacked our compound. Those who murdered our diplomats celebrated their deaths while burning American flags. This senseless anti-American violence has spilled over to Egypt as well, where the Muslim Brotherhood, controlled by radical Islamists, head up the government. Protesters stormed the U.S. embassy in Cairo, scaling the wall and tearing down an American flag. During this critical time, the ACLJ is calling on the Obama administration to stand up for America, stop apologizing, and condemn these abhorrent acts. Also, stop all U.S. funding to these countries. It's time to stop sending U.S. dollars to nations that want to destroy America. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org. The release of Pastor Youssef Nartakani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome to the broadcast, and welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Let me play for you a flashback. This is the NASA administrator talking about what President Obama instructed him regarding his mission. Now, this was right on the anniversary of the first speech in Cairo, which is, I think, set the framework for this problem. I'm going to play one that's very clear, and we're going to get some comments, and we're going to play a second. Well, let's play number 23 first.
I'm here in the region. It's sort of the first anniversary of President Barack Obama's visit to Cairo and his speech there when he gave what has now become known as Obama's Cairo Initiative, where he announced that he really wanted this to be a new beginning of the relationship between the United States and the Muslim world.
Now, it's interesting that they're celebrating this in Cairo because, frankly, my view of the situation is that Cairo's speech of the president's from 2009 has created this problem. And what we did was we had a fundamental shift of showing strength and went into more of an appeasement, get-along mode with regimes that are dictatorial is an understatement, but you had a guy like Mubarak, who was no saint by any imagination, but was certainly an ally of the United States and Israel, and he's now replaced, which we supported. The United States government supported the ouster of Mubarak, and in place we've got the Muslim Brotherhood. And David, you mentioned this on the broadcast, and worse, running the government in Egypt.
Right, that's right. We've had the top two vote-getters in Egypt were the Muslim Brotherhood and the Salafist Party, which is worse than the Muslim Brotherhood. The secularists, the liberals, weren't even on the radar screen electorally.
Now you've got the NASA administrator that now will say why and what his mission is as the head of NASA. And then, folks, I'm going to have you take some direct action. I want everybody to listen to Charles Bolden, director administrator of NASA, about his instructions from the President of the United States, number 24.
Before I became the NASA administrator, he charged me with three things. One was he wanted me to help re-inspire children to want to get into science and math. He wanted me to expand our international relationships. And third, and perhaps foremost, he wanted me to find a way to reach out to the Muslim world and engage much more with dominantly Muslim nations to help them feel good about their historic contribution to science and engineering, science, math, and engineering.
Yeah, that's wonderful, because now what this outreach has produced is Al-Qaeda saying that they want increased attacks on our diplomats. I'm talking about the United States diplomats and personnel, and killing them, as they did with Ambassador Stevens, is to be glorified by the Islamists. That's what they are saying is a good thing to do. So I think the Cairo speech, and that's where I've been saying this for 2 years, folks, this Cairo speech set the course of disaster. And here's another reason why the Cairo speech set a course of disaster. The president of the United States denied our Judeo-Christian heritage. Listen to what he said in Cairo at the particular time about our heritage in the United States.
You know, I've said before that one of the great strengths of the United States is, although as I mentioned, we have a very large Christian population, we do not consider ourselves a Christian nation or a Jewish nation or a Muslim nation. We consider ourselves a nation of citizens.
That is the most nonsensical statement I have ever heard from the president. We consider ourselves a nation of citizens. I said this also. You know, Nazi Germany considered themselves a nation of citizens. That's not the how you determine your history and your heritage. But denying our Judeo-Christian heritage is a dangerous thing because that is the true heritage of America. So, folks, we now got a situation where the president of the United States can stop this funding of $1.3 billion, and it's actually more than that, going to the Muslim Brotherhood-led governments in Egypt and some of these other ones we're supporting as well. Now, we have an ambassador that's been killed in Libya. We've had the Al-Qaeda flag flying over our embassy in Cairo. And in Benghazi, of course, we lost our ambassador. And you ask yourself, why are we giving $1.3 billion of our money? And we have our outreach of NASA being, you know, engaging the Muslim world, which to me is absurd. Here's what we need to do. We need to send a message to the White House and to the rest of the world that we're not giving our hard-earned taxpayer dollars, that we're having to borrow. This is what Paul Rand said, which is correct. We're borrowing money from China so that we can give it to Islamists. And if that doesn't make sense to you, and it sure doesn't to me, then I want you to take direct action. We have a petition going right now to stop this funding. But I need to get to 100,000 signatures for Than Bennett and our government affairs team to do their job here. So I need your help. You go to your phones right now at 1-877-989-2255, and you add your name to this petition. That's 877-989-2255, or you can go to aclj.org and sign the petition online. But let me encourage you, folks, time is of the essence here. We've got to get this done this week. It's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. Let's take direct action. We're also going to be taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Rob is calling. He's on line one. Hi, Rob.
How you doing? I got a question.
Sure.
That this is the reuniting of the Arab nations, and if they do reunite, I believe, and it's still a question, but I believe that they have the power to destroy Israel.
Well, a united Arab, or I should say, to be very specific, a united Muslim attack on Israel could be devastating, and that mostly, and not conventional weapons, though. David, let's talk about that. The nuclear, because you've got this Iranian threat going on at the very same time. Folks, I want you to know this is just a concept that I have. I'm not giving this as doctrine here. I think what's happening is because we know the Iranians operate in proxy. They utilize, the Muslim Brotherhood. They utilize Hezbollah. They utilize Hamas. All this distraction going on in other with these protests and Iran continuing to develop their nuclear capabilities. To me, it's a giant distraction. And a nuclear Iran would be absolutely devastating.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, do we not study what our enemies say? Iran has said again and again and again that its desire is to wipe Israel off the map. The only way that they can do that right now is through nuclear weapons. And you're right to be suspicious when you see the entire periphery of Israel erupting in unrest.
Right.
That is going to take the eye off the ball in Iran, and it might take the American eye off the ball in Iran. And I think that that's one of the many negative side effects of what's happening right now.
I'm looking at this map, and we're going to put it on TV for our audience. We'll put a really good shot of it. But as you can see right here, I mean, it's the entire Middle East is engulfed. Benjamin Netanyahu talked about what's going on right now in the Middle East, number four.
They put their zealotry above their survival. They have suicide bombers all over the place. I wouldn't rely on their rationality. You know, since the advent of nuclear weapons, you've had countries that had access to nuclear weapons who always made a careful calculation of cost and benefit. But Iran is guided by a leadership with an unbelievable fanaticism. It's the same fanaticism that you see storming your embassies today. You want these fanatics to have nuclear weapons?
I mean, could you imagine them with nuclear weapons? It'd be absolutely disastrous, and I think even beyond that, ludicrous, and you cannot wait. We're going to play that bite in a minute. We've got a lot of calls coming in. I'm going to go right to them. If you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Kimberly is calling from Texas. She's on line two. Hi, Kimberly.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for taking
sure.
The call. I keep up with you, and thank you for what you do. I was reading an article in the New York Times recently that on August 20th, our government, they froze an account for Hezbollah, and they took $150 million. It said that the money that Hezbollah needs, because they're growing and they need more money to operate, they have been involved in criminal
activity. Yeah, what you're asking is a very real question. That is, we have traditionally, David, frozen the money, the assets of terrorist groups. We did that with Iran. We did it with Hezbollah. We did that with Muslim Brotherhood funds in the past. But now that these governments are being run by these entities, it's changed the whole financial dynamic. We're
right.
Actually funding them with taxpayer dollars.
It's not a terrorist entity anymore. It's the government of Egypt.
Right.
I mean, that's how negative this development is. We have Muslim Brotherhood, an institution founded in many ways to oppose the very existence of Israel, to oppose the United States, now running the government of the most powerful Arab country. I mean, that is a stunning development. We went from an ally to a Muslim Brotherhood enemy inside the course of about 18 months.
Well, and let's take that a step further, because that's a really great question that was asked, and that is, we've had this traditional way of responding, and we're not doing that anymore because of this. We're almost viewing, and I don't know why we're doing well. I think the president has this initiative. These are not. I still believe that the Muslim Brotherhood is not a legitimate governing regime. They were voted in by the people. Whatever, they voted in radical Islamists, and we have to call it the way it is.
Like our money to Egypt, which used to be money to support an ally who actually did things to help us, is more
including keeping peace in the region.
Right. It's more like trying to pay protection money to the mob.
Yeah.
If we still give you money, will you not hurt us? If we still give you money, will you not really oppose us? And that is not the right way to conduct a foreign policy.
Well, folks, right now what we're doing, I want you to visualize this for a moment. We are going to China and say, will you give us $1.3 billion that we can borrow? And then we're going to take that $1.3 billion and we're not going to spend it on domestic issues here in the United States or helping our military. What we're going to do is take $1.3 billion we're borrowing from the Chinese and we're going to give it to the Muslim Brotherhood-led Egyptian government. And President Obama has also said, I want to forgive what they already owe us, which is $3 billion. He wants to forgive at least $1 billion of it this year and then give them another $1.3 billion. If you say enough's enough, then you go to ACLJ.org and sign this petition right now saying stop the funding of these Islamic-led Brotherhood groups in the Middle East. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org. You can go right to the website, ACLJ.org, or 1-877-989-2255. Folks, you got to take action now. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
The release of Pastor Youssef Nardacani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org. The Middle East is exploding. The U.S. ambassador to Libya and three members of his staff have been murdered. Radical extremists scaled the embassy walls and attacked our compound. Those who murdered our diplomats celebrated their deaths while burning American flags. This senseless anti-American violence has spilled over to Egypt as well, where the Muslim Brotherhood, controlled by radical Islamists, head up the government. Protesters stormed the U.S. embassy in Cairo, scaling the wall and tearing down an American flag. During this critical time, the ACLJ is calling on the Obama administration to stand up for America, stop apologizing, and condemn these abhorrent acts. Also, stop all U.S. funding to these countries. It's time to stop sending U.S. dollars to nations that want to destroy America. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the broadcast. We're going to get 1-800-684-3110. I know a lot of you are on the phones here. Hang on there. We'll take your calls. If we don't get them now, we'll get them in the next 30 minutes of the broadcast. But I think it's important. We've been saying this, and we're lawyers here and government affairs team with Than Bennett. We've been pointing out the evidence. I think it's important to get a historical perspective here as to what we're dealing with. Remember, the administration blamed the media, the film, as the kind of the reason why and not the policies of the United States. Let's listen to Jay Carney when he talked about that.
It is in response not to United States policy, not to obviously the administration, not to the American people. It is in response to a video.
Okay, so that was the initial response. It was this whole thing is because of a video. Then Jay Carney, just a few days ago, walked that back a little bit. And he talks about there being maybe room to investigate. Listen to number 21.
Based on what we know now, and knew at the time, we have no evidence of a pre-planned or premeditated attack. This, however, remains under investigation. And if more facts come to light that change our assessment of what transpired in Benghazi.
All right, then just the same day, the Matt Olson, the counterterrorism director, I want to actually play, we've already played the bite from Lieberman, we said, and certainly he would consider a terrorist attack, but listen to number 22. This is the Obama administration's director of national counterterrorism.
We are looking at indications that individuals involved in the attack may have had connections to al-Qaeda or al-Qaeda's affiliates, in particular, al-Qaeda and the Islamic Maghreb.
All right, now, CBS News breaks last night. Here's what they say, number 33.
Witnesses tell CBS News that there was never an anti-American protest outside of the consulate. Instead, they say it came under planned attack. That is in direct contradiction to the administration's account of the incident. What's clear is that the public won't get a detailed account of what happened until after the presidential election.
Now, I got to tell you, that's pretty awful, considering this is an ongoing problem, and they're playing politics with it. So, folks, again, as we take your phone calls and we get reaction here, I want you engaged on this, so I'm encouraging everybody to go to aclj.org or call us at 877-989-2255. That's aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255 and sign the petition. David, when you hear this, you realize the politics that are now engaged in this are absurd. We have lost members of our diplomatic corps. We're brutally murdered in Libya. And we now know it's al-Qaeda, and now we know actually who in al-Qaeda was running it. So in the last 24 hours, and we've been on top of this, folks, at the ACLJ, we now know exactly who's leading the charge. We knew they were released from Guantanamo Bay, sent to Libya, supposedly under permanent arrest, but in a deal with the Islamists, they work this separation out, and he ends up out of jail and leads and coordinates this attack. But this tells you how serious this is.
Oh, yeah. You know, if we had a real media, we would know what happened before the presidential election. We absolutely would. It's not that difficult.
Oh, no, they're protecting the White House.
Exactly.
Here. I mean, Than, don't you think that's what's going on right now? They're protecting the White House?
No question about it. I mean, listen, this was apparent to all of us on the day it happened, Jay. We came out on air. We said it. We had Republicans and Democrats in the United States Senate that said this was a terrorist attack, and yet we did not hear it from the White House. This was political motivations, Jay, ahead of the security of our nation. That should be unacceptable from the White House, but that's what we got.
And Skip, you got to ask yourself why right now this, you know— I don't think the Arab Spring and unrest that's developed from it is anything to do with our domestic politics. Because originally, I'm sure the president's plan was there would be this peace in the Middle East and he would take credit for it. And it's completely backfired. And Israel's now more at on edge than they've been probably in 50 years.
That's exactly right. It's interesting. The attack took place on 9/11. These demonstrators had RPGs and were using mortars. To say that's not a terrorist attack is just crazy. And I think the key issue here is that the Obama administration has readopted Jimmy Carter's foreign policy, which is weakness, projecting weakness, and the Arab world, the Muslim world in general, does not respond well to weakness. I think that's what's caused the problem.
I think you're exactly correct. All right, we're going to go back to our phones again. If you're on the line, stay there, folks. We'll be taking your calls in the next 30 minutes. Our phone number, if you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110. Fan, who's next?
Yeah, first up, we've got William from Indiana calling on line three. William, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, William.
Jay, it's good to be here. I just had a couple of points that people might not realize. I was a Marine officer in the infantry. I spent a year in Vietnam.
Thank you for your service.
I'm not speaking for all Vietnam veterans by any means, but I do have some inside scoop, and the issue is that we always have a large contingency of Marines in the Mediterranean, and we call that a Mediterranean cruise. There's probably at least a battalion or more. They have special carriers that are...
Well, actually, there's a lot more than that right now in the Mediterranean and in the general region. Skip, you were just in Israel because of the Strait of Hormuz issue with Iran and all these joint military exercises going on.
Right. Right now, there are three carrier battle groups in the area... the Persian Gulf and just outside the Persian Gulf, just as part of an exercise to make sure that the Iranians are disabused of the fact that they can close the Straits of Hormuz if something happens.
Which is a concern right now, obviously, because so much of the oil comes through there. How serious of a threat would that be, David?
You know, it could
economically be disastrous for the world.
It could collapse the world economy if Iran could literally close the Straits of Hormuz. I mean, the price of oil would skyrocket. Supplies of oil would plummet. I mean, it would be an absolute disaster. And so that's been the purpose of this multinational force, to demonstrate very clearly to Iran that they cannot close the Straits of Hormuz. And the reality is that Iran does not have the military power to keep the Straits of Hormuz closed for very long, even if they could succeed in doing it at all. But that threat they threaten economic catastrophe.
Yeah, well, and you got to take – look – we don't have the luxury, nor the United States nor Israel have the luxury of not taking the Iranians seriously. That's the fact of the matter. All right, folks, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. If you're on the line, stay there. If you want to talk to us, we're going to be here for another 30 minutes taking your phone call. So again, if you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110. Fan, give us a kind of a summary of where we are and what we expect legislatively and what the long-term play is here.
Well, Congress over the next week, Jay, is going to be funding the government for the next 6 months. Secretary Clinton is on the Hill as we speak, begging them to make sure that we don't touch this funding for Egypt, for Libya, for Yemen, for Pakistan, and for others. They are going to have to approve that in the next week. But, Jay, people need to pay attention to this. Even after that happens, the president has authority to do what we're asking. So we don't want people to be disheartened. When that funding goes out the door, the president can still suspend it until they meet their legal obligations. That's what we're going to be focusing on. So as this funding leaves Congress, it's going to be the president that's going to have to suspend it.
So hard for me to believe that they would not, that the president would not waive would insist on certain guarantees before we give $1.3 billion to the Muslim-led Islamic Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood is an Islamic-led regime. They're dangerous. These are calling for the destruction of Israel. And the president is, and we got Secretary of State Clinton saying, we must have the money. To do what? I mean, it certainly isn't helping. I mean, you know, they're a little quiet right now because they're about to get our $1.3 billion. Egyptian officials are calling for the arrest of five Coptic Christians here and that pastor in Florida. Now, you know, you could completely disagree with everything those guys are doing. But the fact of the matter is, in America, we don't do that. So, folks, you take direct action. You do that by going to ACLJ.org. 90,698 of you have. So I encourage you to go to ACLJ.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255. Now, folks, this is the last day, today and tomorrow, for you to sign on to this petition. The number is 1-877-989-2255. You can also sign that petition at ACLJ.org. Let me encourage you also to read information we have posted on the website about this issue, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Call now on that. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 800-684-3110. We'll be taking more questions in just a few moments.
During this critical time, the ACLJ is calling on the Obama administration to stand up for America, stop apologizing, and condemn these abhorrent acts. Also, stop all U.S. funding to these countries. It's time to stop sending U.S. dollars to nations that want to destroy America. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.